Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we embark on a new week, there may be those who would think, oh my, still in Genesis 3? Is this guy aware there are 65 other books of the Bible, and even Genesis has 50 chapters? We're going to be here forever. I understand. We all have limited attention spans. Most radio and podcast ministries teach according to themes, very topical. I acknowledge that our approach here is unique, different, whatever word you want to use, and this is intentional on my part. In my view, Genesis 3 is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible, and if you want to make the case it is the most important, I will not disagree. That means we should be attentive, move slowly, thoroughly investigate what God says, and be open and ready to have this applied to our lives. The truth is, Holy God packs in a lot of rich content into just a few pages and 24 concise verses. The truth is also that what is here impacts the rest of Scripture. To understand the Bible, we must all understand the first few chapters of the Genesis. The beginning affects the middle and the end. So I encourage you to dig in with me each weekday. We will not be here forever unless it is the Lord's will to take us before we get to the end of the chapter. And it is hard for me to believe that we are already at verse 14. Here is the plan for today and this week. I want to start by reminding you of God's approach to Adam and Eve in the Garden in Eden in verses 9 through 13. Then I will read verses 14 through 19 and draw our attention to one of God's attributes that we find in these verses. And as the week progresses, we will discuss what the Lord God says to the serpent, the woman, and the man. We'll see how the time goes, but we may only be able to get to God's word to the serpent in verses 14 and 15. Whatever we do not cover this week, we will pick up with again next week. By now, you know how this works. And if you are new to God Is, we extend to you a very warm welcome. It is an honor to have you, and we are grateful you have decided to spend this time with us. If you have feedback, comments, questions, or you just want to say hello, drop an email or a letter anytime. The email is mark@godisministry.org. That's Mark with a K, mark@godisministry.org. And the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. I also really want to encourage you to visit the website, godisministry.org. Click the links for Facebook and Instagram, like our pages, and follow us there. We post all the time, and you will be strengthened and encouraged in your own walk with the Lord if you like us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Just look for God Is Podcast. That's God Is Podcast. Any questions? Reach out to me today. There's a lot of junk on social media, but we are trying to contribute something that is biblical, uplifting, and encouraging. On Friday, we left off at the end of Genesis 3, verse 13. Eve answers God's question. And God's question was the last of four in total he asked of Adam and then Eve. Adam got three questions and Eve just the one. This was God's question and answer session with man and woman. And do take note that God did not ask any questions of the serpent, as we will see when we get into verse 14. The reason why is that there is a difference between how God responds to what the serpent, being used by Satan, has done, and what Adam and Eve have done. As I have been emphasizing, God intends to save the man and the woman from their sin, but God has no intention of saving Satan from his sin. Let me quote John Calvin. There's nothing like a little Calvin to start the week. He says, God does not interrogate the serpent as he had done the man and the woman, because to the devil God would hold no hope of pardon. Right. God will pardon man and woman, as we shall see, but God will not pardon Satan. For the devil there is only everlasting condemnation. There is no redemption for the devil. Do keep this in mind as we proceed, and now let me read from Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19. This is the word of God to our minds and hearts this day in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman God said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam God said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." As I said in the introduction, when we read through these six verses, there emerges at least one of the attributes of God. Something stands out here that speaks to the nature and to the character of who God is, and that is the justice of God. God's justice is on display very early in the Bible. Let's talk about this. And to do so, I want to follow the sound teaching, what is, in my view, the correct theology of the Puritan preacher and writer, Thomas Watson. I often access his clearly written book, A Body of Divinity. Watson writes cogently on the justice of God, and he soaks his text in Scripture, which I love. We will hear from him some this week. And to the question, what is the justice of God? Watson says, "Justice is to give everyone his due." Justice is to give everyone his due. In other words, justice gives to everyone what is deserved. If I do X, then I deserve what is commensurate with having done X. I get what I deserve. I get what is due me. And we have a biblical example of this right here in verses 14 through 19. Let me show you what I mean. Back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, God gave the man and the woman a clear law. Let's remind ourselves what the law, what the command is. In Genesis 2:17, God says, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Well, there it is. It's very clearly stated. But then Adam and Eve broke God's law. They disobeyed his clear command. And so now God exercises his justice by punishing the man and the woman, giving them what they deserve, giving them their due. I read that to you in verses 16 through 19 of the text. God gives his law. People break the law, and now people are punished justly according to the law that has been broken. In the New Testament epistle of Romans, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, "Where there is no law, there is also no violation." That's Romans 4, verse 15b, Romans 4, 15, the second part of the verse. The apostle's point is God's punishment is just because God punishes by a law that has been broken. Had there been no law, there would be no violation, and therefore no punishment. But there is God's law, and when we violate it, we are punished. This is pretty amazing about the Lord God. The justice of God is perfect. There is never any flaw in what he does. Check this out, written by Thomas Watson, quote, God is just in punishing the wicked because he never punished them, but upon full proof and evidence. What greater evidence than for a man's own conscience to be a witness against him? There is nothing God charges upon a sinner, but conscience sets its seal to the truth of it. End quote. That's not only well written, but also true. God elicits the truth from Adam and Eve. They both admitted to eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Each of them said, I ate. Adam in verse 12 and Eve in verse 13. So now God has proof and evidence of how they have broken his law. This is weighing on the conscience of Adam and Eve, hence the sewing together of the fig leaves and the hiding from God. Conscience has suddenly sealed its truth in them, and here now before them is their just God speaking out his words of punishment, dispensing with his justice. There is a loud cry today for justice. Legitimately so, there is a desire for justice. But I do not sense the kind of justice people have in mind is God's justice. What the culture cries out for is a kind of justice we create for ourselves. After all, the Lord is not welcome in his world anymore. So we set out to right our wrongs without him. Big mistake. There is no perfect justice without the only just judge, and he is God. So by resisting him, ignoring him, and trying at least to silence him, we are doomed. No nation can continue to exist on a man-made, quote-unquote, justice system. We have no idea the depths of our injustice, nor the heights of God's justice. Let's continue with the justice of God tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.